Man, it's sure good to see you all here today. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Sometimes when I put a message together, I try to find a title that's a little bit catchy and don't get hung up on the title. Get hung up on the Word of God. Amen. So the title of the message is something I'll just tell you about and then we'll move on. But there are two kinds of people in the world. And you can go to the internet and you can Google two kinds of people and you find all sorts of humorous things. There's those folks that squeeze the toothpaste tube from the middle and those that roll it up on the end. And my wife and I solved that problem. She has her sink. I have my sink. She has her toothpaste. I have my toothpaste. We don't fight about that one anymore. But there's those kind of folks that like hamburgers and they like hot dogs and those kind of things. And you can joke around with that all you want, but there's a serious side of that question. There's two kinds of people, those that are saved and those that are lost. But there's really two kinds of people. Those that are seeking to live in God's will and those that aren't. Now, this morning, you're going to see some things in this passage that they horrify me. I'll give you an example. We're in Matthew chapter 26, right? We're going to be towards the end of the chapter in verse 57. In Matthew chapter 26, in verse 57, the Bible says, they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away. I have a hard time comprehending that. That someone would say, I'm going to take control of the God that created me and lead him away. Now, if you don't remember last week's message, there's just one simple thought that was very important, and that is Jesus allowed all of this. So don't think that this is okay just because Jesus allowed it. They subdued him. They took control of him, and they led him away. And as I understand it, I believe his hands were bound. And how ridiculous is that to try to bind God? It's outrageous. And you and I, one day, I would not want to be one of these fellows and stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day having been in the arresting party. It's outrageous. And then later on, they're going to question him. And if you read down a little further, just look at verse 63. It says, Jesus held his peace. Now, you know God has plenty of good things to say. But Mr. Gonzalez and I were talking before the service today. Have you ever argued with someone who's made their mind up? You're just wasting your time, aren't you? They've made their mind up, and whatever you say means nothing to them. And so you're really, they're mocking you in a sense by even listening to you. They had made their mind up what they were going to do with Jesus, hadn't they? They already had a plan. They already knew what they were going to do. And so they silenced him. And what I mean by that is they had decided already what their plan was. And so he had nothing to say to them. I've been in a situation one time to where I was in a, it was kind of a lynch mob setting. And they had already decided what they were going to do. And it didn't matter what I said. And I made the mistake of speaking and it just made things worse. Jesus held his peace. They subdued him. They silenced him. And then, going down to verse 70, Peter, when they were asking him, Peter, do you know him? You're one of his disciples. He says in verse 70, the Bible says, he, that's Peter, denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. In verse 72, I do not know the man. Peter shunned him. Now, he had dealt with Peter later, and he forgave Peter, didn't he? And praise God, he forgives us. But can you imagine the outrageous idea that someone is going to subdue God and do what they want to do, or that someone is going to silence God and believe what they want to believe. It's good to see you this morning. Or that they would shun God and say, or Jesus and say, oh, I don't know him. And I don't want to be identified with him. Be careful. We can do that very same thing today. And in fact, when you and I do those kinds of things, when we take control of our life and when we say, and I'm in this with you, folks. I have flesh just like you do. I have temptation in my life just like you do. I have things in my life that maybe I'd like to go left and God says go right. Or maybe I'd like to, you know, do this and God says no, do that. I wrestle with these kind of things too. We have to be careful. We can subdue God and we can tell him what we're going to do or what he's going to do, really, almost what's happening here. We can make our mind up and silence him where we can't hear from him. And then we can, in fear of what folks might say about us, we can shun him and not identify with him. I hope you would agree with me. I'm just going to launch on a little rabbit trail here. We need to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. And identifying with him doesn't necessarily mean you wear a t-shirt that says, I identify with Jesus. It has more to do with the way you live your life, doesn't it? And the things that you say and the things that you do and the places you go and the places you don't go maybe and the things that you do in your life to emphasize that we are his. So the two kinds of people that we're talking about today are those that are seeking, and I'm not just talking about saying, and I'm talking about those that genuinely desire to follow his will and to hear from him and have let him guide them and to identify with him even if it costs them something, and those that don't. Now please hear what I'm about to say. This is very important. Every single one of us, again, here I am, I'm with you. Every single one of us has times in our life when we fail. Now, aren't you glad God doesn't cast you off when you fail? Every single one of us has weaknesses, things that we just can't do. But I'm going to tell you, I believe this with all my heart. If you will ask God to do a work in your life, he will. If you'll just approach him and seek his help in pleasing him. They didn't do anything like that here. But if you'll seek him, he'll be found. The Bible says, seek and you'll find. So let's stand for the reading of God's word and we'll read this passage and break it down a little further. We've really gotten a long ways already. And just see this in great detail, perhaps, in these verses. I'm going to read quite a bit here. It's verse 57 through 75, so bear with me. But watch what happens, and you'll be incensed, I think, as I am, at what these folks think they can do. But it's only because of his submission that they're able to do this. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 57. The Bible says, "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, 'This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' And the high priest arose and said unto him, 'Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?' But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, 'I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, 'He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?' They answered and said, 'He is guilty of death.' Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, 'Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?' Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, 'Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied before them all, saying, 'I know not what thou sayest.' And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. After a while, came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for your goodness to us. Thank you that though Jesus could have called legions upon legions of angels, he submitted himself to this mistreatment, this cruelty, this spitting, this striking, this slapping of his face and the crown of thorns on his head and all the many things they did to torture him because they hated him. Lord, thank you that he suffered willfully, obediently, following what you had commanded him to do so that he could die on the cross to pay for our sins. Father, today we're humbled and we're moved by that. The very thought that he would endure this for us shocks us. It opens our eyes. It changes the way we see the world. But Father, help us to be careful not to do pretty much the same thing that these men did to him by subduing him, by silencing him, by shunning him. Help us to remember that day by day, it's important for us to walk with him, to follow him, to hear from him, and to identify with him. And Lord, we know that you can give us the strength and the ability to do that if we'll ask you to. I think our minds are made up, but Lord, help us to see some more things in this passage that would teach us. And we pray you'd bless us now in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Just underline that thought before we begin. Just because God allows something does not mean he approves. And God allows a lot of things to go on today that he does not approve of. And some of them sadden me. I hate to see children suffer. I hate to see people suffer. It grieves me when folks somehow believe the devil's lie and they think that following God is going to cost them something or is too difficult or is going to keep them from being happy. When folks, I just want you to know, it's very clear to me, if you will not follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you can try anything you want to, and all it will do is distract you from the fact that you're looking for something better. And that something is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid that you and I, as Christians even, fall into some of these traps to where we think we know better than God, so we're going to tell him what to do instead of letting him tell us what to do. Or that we've made our mind up so that what we're going to do is we're not going to listen to him or look to him for counsel, but what we're going to do is just do what we want and think what we want and be what we want. And then the sad conclusion of that is what Peter did, which is we begin to identify with the world instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to start the war again here, but I got to be careful because most of you folks are Air Force, right? Is anybody here on my side? I was in the Army. Should I leave this alone and move on? Bob Odle, thank you, brother. And praise God, we've got one more. Anybody here a Marine? Wow, save myself there. And I had a cousin that was a Marine. He was flying, if you remember, the raid on Iraq. I don't know how long ago that was, 30 or 40 years ago, 30 years ago. He was flying the helicopter behind the one that crashed into the C-130. And a fine man. And we appreciate our military, amen, and what they go through. But when you talk about opinions, people have opinions of what's going to make their life good and what's going to make them happy. And you got two choices. You can be one of two people. You can look to God for happiness or you can look to yourself. These men have rejected Christ, and if you don't remember, the main reason is this. They didn't want to lose their following. You see, the people admired them. The people looked up to them. The people adored them and talked about how good they were. And that's all about receiving glory. Everyone likes to be liked. Some people need to be important. Some people want to be powerful. Some people want to be seen as the best. And all that comes back to pride. At the end of the day, it's God that's important. Amen? And at the end of the day, if you did it in your own strength and you get the glory for it, then God doesn't. You say, I did this or I did that. Well, I'm glad for you. But wouldn't it be better if God did things through you? Amen? These people, they didn't want to lose their following, and they saw Jesus as competition. If the people follow him, and you've read the verses, all men are going after him. We've got to do something about this. And they wanted to eliminate him, just like today some people want to eliminate God from their life. They would think of the Bible as a book of, and I hate to even use the words, but they think it's archaic, they think it's obsolete, they think it doesn't deal with their situation. I have found out this book knows me better than I know me. And it deals with situations really well. So these men have set out to subdue the Lord Jesus Christ. And follow me in the Bible for a few minutes here. In verse 57, it says that they had laid hold on Jesus. And when they laid hold on him, the truth of the matter is they should be led by him, not lay hold on him. In our life, do you think Jesus, this is a question that you know the answer to already, rhetorical question, but do you think Jesus wants to lead us in our life? Amen. We have to decide to be willing to be led. God's not going to force himself upon you. He will occasionally to protect you, but these people, they of this group, they led him away. Now, there's three groups of people here, and just to make the point, you got the Roman, who are Gentile soldiers. They're the civil authority. They're the police of the day, so to speak. They're the government of the day. You have that group of people that are subduing him. And then you have them taking him to the high priest, Caiaphas, with the scribes and the elders. They're the religious authority. And sometimes people come to me and say, well, religion is a bad thing. I will, in some sense, agree with you. The only time the word religion appears in the Bible is in a negative connotation. Religion is man's attempt to impress God. And folks, God's not impressed. Religion can have a positive connotation. It's when we do things faithfully, and that's a good thing. But folks, we don't need religion. We need Christ. We don't need to try to impress God. We need to be impressed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so these religious authorities, and we have that in our day, in our world today, don't we? The Pope just went to Iraq, and we've got other main religions out there, big religions, Buddhism and so on. They also have laid hold on him. And then there's Peter. Now, that comes a little closer to home. He's a disciple, just like we are. So all of the world is represented in this passage. The civil authority, the religious authority, and then that limited number of folks that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, even though all of them subdued him by his permission, he still died to pay for their sins. There's nobody in the world Jesus is not willing to save. What about that very wicked person, Pastor? That very wicked person could have their sins covered in the blood of Christ if they'd ask him to save them. But these people, they subdued him. They took control. They wanted to be the ones that called the shots. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. He allowed that to happen. They backed away from him. In verse 58, Peter followed him from afar off. And that's poignant. Aren't there some people that follow Christ from a distance? They'll name him. They come to church occasionally. Maybe they'll do some things for him. They'll withhold or avoid certain sins. But they're not following him really close. Folks, we need to follow him. The closer you walk with him, the more he can lead you. And the more he can protect you. And the more he can love you, if I can say it that way, the more you can love him. And that has to be one of the questions we ask ourselves today. And again, I'm in this with you, is am I living my life based on what he wants, or am I trying to subdue him and take control? Do I care about his will, or is my will what's most important? Tomorrow, will his will dominate my life, or will my will override that? This subduing here is the wrong approach. They followed from a distance in some cases. Peter sat with the servants in verse 58 to see the end. There's two interesting things there. Who are you sitting with? Amen? Are you sitting with God's people, or are you sitting with the world? Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus loved the world. He died for the world. But the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Amen? And that's part of that shunning we'll talk about in just a minute briefly. But we ought to identify with him. And to identify with him means to not identify with some other things. Peter, just like us, sometimes, sadly, is sitting with the servants of the high priest. It's not that they're bad people or whatever, although they're serving a bad cause, but they're certainly not people that follow Christ. Be careful who your friends are. Be careful who you spend your time with. Amen? That's one of the reasons God gave us a church, so we can spend our time with each other, and we need to make sure we do that. He sat with the servants, and then I like that end of verse 58, to see the end. In other words, let's see what happens. Now, can you put yourself there? And you're out there in that porch or in that courtyard, and they're trying the Lord Jesus Christ, and the whole thing's a sham. It's a fake. I just think to myself, I want to see what happens. I want to do something about it. I want to make a difference. Amen? A lot of folks live their life just to see what's going to happen, so to speak. They're not trying to make a difference, not a difference for God, maybe a difference for themselves perhaps, but not a difference for God. Folks, God's got the end under control. What we need to do is get busy making a difference as we can. And let me give you some practical thoughts, okay? Just some real simple down-to-earth heart type stuff. You know, one of the ways you can make a difference is just by being in church. It encourages me. It encourages the other folks that are here. It encourages our visitors. And it's important to be in church. You can make a difference by praying. I have found this. When I'm faithful in the little things, then God helps me to be faithful in the big ones too. And you know what's interesting? It's easy to pray. Well, I say that, but isn't it truly something we have to be deliberate about? You know, you say it's easy to pray. You can. I came in here last night and I prayed. And I pray in my office an awful lot. But it's easy to stop and pray. But we need to be deliberate to do it. You need to read your Bible. You need to identify with Christ in inviting folks out to church, telling folks about Christ. Folks, we have salvation. We sang the songs just now. One day, he's coming. And we know what's going to happen when that day comes. Well, a lot of folks don't. And it's not just the doors that we knock. It's the people that we work with or the people that we come across. And it's so easy to carry a tract in your pocket and hand it out. You can make a difference if you will. And there's different things we can do. I can't stand here and give you the laundry list, but I can tell you this. You need to be deliberate about it. You need to decide, I want to be a part of this ministry that God's given us here at Vision Baptist Church. So they subdued him. They laid hold on him. Peter backed away from him. He looked on to see what would happen, kind of passive about the whole thing. And then they tried to justify what they were doing. And I've got to be careful. I'll run out of time. But look at this. As you see in verse 60, they wanted to make this look legitimate. And it says in verse 59, actually, it says, they sought false witnesses against Jesus. In verse 60, it says, they found none. In fact, many false witnesses came, but they didn't find any. And what was happening is these people were contradicting each other, so that the Bible said you had to have two that agreed, and they couldn't find that. I'll just say it plainly. If you decide you're going to set out to disprove God, you're going to fail. If you think you've got a better idea than God has of how to live your life, you're wrong. And if you decide to justify that, and how many of you, Mr. Gonzalez and I were talking about this before the service, how many of you have come across somebody and they'll explain to you why the Bible's wrong or God's wrong or whatever? And yeah, and this is the second point here of being silenced. They've made their mind up. And it doesn't really matter, but they would tell you, oh, I've got a legitimate reason for not believing the Bible. Or I've got a legitimate reason for not believing in God. I'm so tired of people using the word science as something to attack the Bible with. I want you to know something about this Bible. It agrees with science absolutely. I was a little boy in the fifth grade and in Carlsbad, New Mexico. And I remember them teaching us a simple principle of science. You do an experiment and you change one thing and you see what happens and you observe the results. Don't tell me it's science when you can't observe it happening. And there's no observing evolution because it's not happening. And by the way, it never did. And if you look at this, all the statistics and all the evidence and the absence of transitional forms or polonium halos or the depth of the dust on the moon or the statistical probability of a valid DNA molecule or 100 other things or 1,000 or 1,000,000, what you'll find is science that's real science points back to the Bible. I was teaching my chemistry class, Lucia and Nathaniel, and we got off into thermodynamics for a little bit. That's a big word. Nobody really cares what it means. But essentially, there's a rule. There's a rule that we all go by. It's the first law of thermodynamics. And you know what it says? You cannot create or destroy energy or matter. Now stay with me. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. What it says is you can't get something from nothing. It's got to come from somewhere. You know where it came from? God. Amen. And so the very first law of thermodynamics says evolution's impossible. There's a couple more laws, and one of them says things tend to become more disorderly. If I had a bag of marbles up here and I poured them out on the floor, they wouldn't all run over to the corner and pile up. They're going to go everywhere. So someone says, well, you know, look at the order in the human body and the cells and all those things. Folks, God did that. You can run a tornado through all the junkyards you want 1,000,000 times. You're not going to get a 747 airplane. You can give a monkey a typewriter and 10 billion years, he's not going to write Shakespeare. When we just moved to Maryland, they gave the monkeys in the zoo typewriters to see what they would do. They said, you know what? Monkeys like the letter S. S, 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 S. You're not going to get something wonderful from random chance. But you do get it from God. Amen? Well, I'm way off my track here, and I'm going to run out of time if I'm not careful. So you got this subduing here. They tried to justify what they were doing by saying, well, we've got witnesses. And they made excuses, and ultimately they had made their decision already. Just one last time, I know I'm being redundant, but I want to remind you, don't subdue God, follow him. Don't take control, let him be in control. Second thing, we'll go fast. They silenced him. In verse 62, this high priest, he says, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace, and I've already explained to you why God would be silent. And then he says in verse 63, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." And he has kind of used I hate to use the phrase, but kind of a formula, something that Christ can't deny. The fact that God is alive is a fact that cannot be denied. And so the high priest is saying, if God's alive, you must speak. And God's alive, amen? And so Jesus tells them what they wanted to hear, the truth. No, he tells them what the truth is. That's not what they wanted to hear. He says in verse 64, "Thou hast said," in other words, yes, I'm the Christ. And then nevertheless, he says, "I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, on the right hand of God, and coming in the clouds of heaven." He's just told them, I'm the Son of God. And he is. And they wanted the truth, they said, And he gave it to them. And have you ever told somebody the truth? Mr. Hill and some other folks here, they knock on the door. You ever tell somebody the truth and they don't want to hear it? And they can become very angry very fast. And I've seen that more times than I can count. If you tell somebody, you're going to die and go to hell. Well, who do you think you are to tell me I'm going to go to hell? I'm nobody, but that's what the Bible says. And I'm here to try to help you, to keep you out of hell. So when he heard that in verse 65, he rent his clothes. And then he says to them, what think ye? You've heard this blasphemy. By the way, they were accusing him of blasphemy for the same reason that Paul did later on, before Paul got converted. Because for you to say that you are the Son of God when you are not is blasphemy. If he is who he says he is, it's not blasphemy. So think of the logic there. They've already decided who they think he is. They've rejected who he really is. So there's no chance of a good outcome here. And when you and I make our minds up that we're going to do certain things or not do certain things, and we stop listening to God, folks, don't be surprised if God becomes silent. And that ought to scare you when you're not hearing from God. Have you heard from God lately? Amen? He wants to talk to you, and he's got some wonderful things to say, but he will be silenced if you won't listen. Now, this last one is just as simple. Look at verse 69. Peter, in verse 69, sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. Wouldn't you like it if someone came up to you and said, I know you're a Christian? Before I was in the ministry, I used to sell and install software for credit unions. And this is a strange story. I was in Longview, Texas, which is in East Texas, in the piney woods of Texas. It's in Northeast Texas. And I was trying to sell software. In fact, I succeeded to a credit union there's a beer manufacturer, whatever you call them, distillery there, whatever they do, they make beer. And there's this company there that made beer, and they had a credit union. And so the manager of the credit union was allowing me to come in and show them the software. And I forgot how the conversation turned, but I helped it. And we started talking about Christ and about salvation. And I asked her, I said, are you a born-again Christian? Are you saved? And here's what she said to me. She said, I never talk about religion to anybody. If somebody asked me if I'm saved, wow, what a great question. Let's talk about that, amen? And I had been memorizing Bible verses. I'd be driving down the road. You might not want to do this. I have an index card, and I'd be reading this card and memorizing Bible verses as I was driving down the road. And I was memorizing Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. And it says in that passage, in the middle of that passage, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Amen? If somebody asks you if you're saved, when somebody asks me if I'm saved, I'm thinking, hey, here's an opening. If they're saved, great, let's get to know each other. If they're not, let's talk about salvation. This is good. I like that. I would never say, oh, I don't talk about that. And the reason she didn't want to talk about it is because she wasn't saved. Now, you and I, we know Christ, amen? Peter knew Christ. Why would we shun him? Have you ever had somebody come to you in the workplace? I told this story too many times, so I'll tell you the short version. I used to sit at my desk in Las Colinas, Texas, was where the office was, and read my Bible at lunch. And over the course of weeks, I'd sit at my desk reading my Bible at lunch, and people would walk by my office and see me reading my Bible. And one after another, two or three of the people in this workplace came to me and said, hey, I'm a Christian too. And then my favorite part of the story, I'm with the regional manager and the vice president of the company. It's a big company, multi-million dollar company. And we're driving down the road one day, and the president of the company, of the division, was a Vietnam vet, and he starts telling Vietnam stories, and he says, I think that, you know, the purpose of life, he says, I think the purpose of life is just to see how much you can enjoy yourself. And I'm thinking, I got to say something. And he's that's called Epicureanism, by the way. And he said, I think life's just all about enjoying. A lot of people feel that way, don't they? And so I thought, I can't be quiet anymore. I may lose my job, but I got to say something. And the other vice president of marketing for the whole company, he says, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm a born-again Christian. And I thought, and I said, I am too. It feels good to identify with Christ. Amen? You say, well, what if they get mad at me? That's okay. God will be pleased. Amen? And he may allow you to go through a situation where they don't like to hear that, but it's sure a blessing when they do. And by that, by the way, God deserves for you to satisfy him more than they deserve to be satisfied by having you keep quiet. Amen? Peter says, I don't know him. And then the second time, Peter took an oath. I swear by whatever, I don't know him. And then the third time, the woman says, well, we can tell by the way you talk, you're one of his disciples. And so he thinks, I'll prove that wrong. And he starts to curse and talk in a way that would not be what a disciple would want. Folks, you got to be careful. I don't think any of you would go that far into the cursing to disprove it. But just let folks know that you identify with Christ. Don't shun him. They subdued him and took control. They silenced him. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. And then even a disciple shunned him for fear of what might happen if they knew he identified with Christ. And Jesus allowed that to happen. He still allows it today. Folks, if we do those, any of those three things, but I think they go together, people around us aren't going to hear about Christ and get saved. They might like us a little more, or they might think differently about us if we keep our mouth shut and if we live like they live and do what they do and don't listen to God. But one day we're going to wish, and that's how this interesting how this ends. If you look at the end of the passage, and go back over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 26 and look at verse 75. After all these outrageous things, subduing him and silencing him and shunning him, and in verse 75, Peter remembered the word of Jesus. Now, we talked about how impressive the Bible is in Sunday school this morning, how wonderful the Bible is. Folks, if you'll get in this book, you'll be amazed at when you try to sin, you'll remember this book. You say, Pastor, I haven't had much time to learn the Bible. Just memorize a verse. Just start with one. And just read one chapter this week, every day, half a chapter. But spend time in the Bible. It'll change you. I was in a building one night, in the middle of the night, writing a computer program for some people. And a guy walked by, a Mormon guy in this particular situation, and said something to me. And just like that, a verse came to my mind. And when you are walking in the Bible, when you close it, it'll still go with you. It'll change the way you live. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and we need to do the same thing. And the Lord had told him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. And I don't want to be unkind, but in one sense, he should have, but we should too. Because one day when we look into his eyes, and another account of this story says Jesus looked at him. When we look into Jesus' eyes, we're not going to see anger. We're going to see disappointment. We could have done better. Now here's the exciting thing. It's 12 noon on Sunday, March the 7th, and we've all got some life ahead of us. I can't go back and change Saturday or Friday or Thursday or Wednesday or 10 years ago. But I can let him lead me today and tomorrow. I can listen to him today and tomorrow. I can identify with him today and tomorrow. Amen? And he'll help me. You might wonder sometimes, why aren't things happening? Why aren't more people getting saved? Or why this or why that? What it really comes down to is what God is doing. And by the way, you're here today. God's doing something. Amen? And he can do more if we'll let him. It's just that, honestly, if we really admit it, we're guilty of these things sometimes. Sometimes we subdue him. Sometimes we silence him. Sometimes we shun him. And as we stand before him one day, there's going to be some weeping for what we could have done if we just would have, and what we could have done if we'd have asked him to help us do it. And I think in all of our lives, there are some things that we know we've taken out of God's hands, and they're in our hands now, and we're going to do it our way. We're not listening to him anymore, not following him anymore. Might even be shunning him in some ways. We need to give those back to him, amen? Whatever it might be. It's not that God can't work. It's that we stand in the way sometimes. It's not that he couldn't have stopped all of this. He allows us to make some choices. And he will allow us to live our life in certain ways. I think there's some lines he won't let you cross. I believe that. But there, he'll let you do some things. Because that's our opportunity in this world, is to love him. And if we love him, we'll obey him and follow him. These people hated him. Not Peter, but these other fellows did. If we really love him, we'll let him lead us. We will want him to lead us. We'll let him speak to us and guide us and counsel us and tell us. We'll want him to. And we will identify with him even when it's risky, because he's more precious to us than the opinions of men. So don't make that mistake to think that just because he's not stopping it, or he's not chastening you, or he's not, like, what do these men deserve? They deserve terrible judgment, and it's coming, but it hadn't happened yet. Just because God hasn't judged yet doesn't mean he doesn't judge. Think about it this way, and I'm done. If God was having his will in your life, if you could walk through a door or a moment of time, and all of a sudden God was having his will in your life, what things would change from what you're doing now? Well, how would things be different if God was having his will in your life? I tell you this, it'd be better. It'd be better here, and be better in eternity. But we subdue him. We say, no, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do that. We silence him. We say, no, I've already made my mind up. And then sadly, sometimes we shun him. No, I don't want to be identified with him because I'm afraid of what people will think or say. Folks, let's stop it. When we do those things, we're doing the very same thing these men did here. And it's wicked. Let's all stand and pray.